Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis, on the Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. We're speaking about Irboi Psul. We discussed if the Kohen Gadol was, if they appointed a Kohen Gadol and he became disqualified. Umina Achat Tachtov, and then they designated a different Kohen to be his backup. And then the first Kohen is able to go back to doing his avoider. So teaches us the Braisa. Also, the Rishon Chozel Avodasai, the original, the first Kohen Gadol goes back to his position. Hasheni, and then the second Kohen Gadol does Kometz Kedula Olav. He is obligated to follow all the halachas that apply to Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to get tummy under any circumstances. He may not marry an almana. He may not. He has to cut his hair. He, on a regular basis, he may not marry an almana. And he needs to wear the shmoina begadim, the eight begadim that a kohen gadol has to wear when he does the avoda. Divrei Rameya. That is the opinion of Rameya. Rabbi Yosemer, Harishin Chazal of Adasai, the first kohen gadol indeed goes back to his position. Hasheni, and when we speak about the second Kohen Gadol, Ein Roi is not able, Gadol of Loyal Kohen Hedjet. He can't serve in either position. And says the Gemara, Amar Reb Yossi, Ma'is Reb Yossi ben Elam, Mitzipayri. There was once an episode for Reb Yossi ben Elam from Tzipayri, Shir by Psuba Kohen Gadol, where the first Kohen Gadol, something happened that disqualified him from being able to do the avodah, from being able to do the avodah on Yom Kippur, uminu tachtov, and they went and they appointed Yosef ben Elam to be the Kohen Gadol in his place, and then vamr chachamim, and the chacham said rishin chayz levedasai, the first Kohen to go back to his position, sheni, and the second one, this Yosef ben Elam, who was appointed as the backup, and Roy Loyla Kohen Gadol, Loyla Kohen Hedjet. He can't serve in either position. And the Gemara explains why. Kohen Gadol, the reason they did not allow him to go back to his first, to be a Kohen Gadol, why this backup Kohen was not allowed to serve in that position, was, says the Gemara, because Eva, we're concerned about the relationship between the first Kohen and the second Kohen, and the way most Rishonim explain that the Kohen Gadol will, the original Kohen Gadol, who's now Baruch Hashem able to go back to his position, is going to be very disturbed when having this person who was his replacement there all the time, as there all the time in that place, looking at him, and he's saying, "This is a person that took my place." And Kohen Hedjet, the reason we can't allow him to become a Kohen Hedjet again is Mishamal B'Kodesh Shalem Meridin. As we discussed in the previous year, once he was elevated to this position, we can't take him down because it's Mal B'Kodesh. Once he was at the position of being a Kohen Gadol, he can't revert to be back to Kohen Hedjet. So the way Tosfos explains the Gemara is that why do we have to say that the reason is Mal B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridin? He's a Kohen HaGadol. And since he's a Kohen Gadol, of course, the Halacha is a Kohen Gadol has to wear Shemoyne B'Gadim. And that's the issue. It's not just Mal B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridin. So the way the Pnei Yeshua explains Tosfos, that Tosfos answers that since a Kohen Gadol is only appointed to his position with Dibur, we appoint him by saying, you will now be the Kohen Gadol, it's fairly easy to remove him from that position, also just with a Dibur. So it technically would be, we technically would be able to remove him from position. But the reason we don't remove him from the position is because there's a new concept which we learned, Malam Kodesh, Vilemaridim. So in our previous year, at the end of our previous year, we had a discussion regarding this concept of Mal B'Kodesh Vilemaridim. And we mentioned the opinion of the Taz, where the Taz tells us that we only apply the concept of Malam Kodesh V'loy Meridin when by leaving him and the higher Kedusha, there is no downside. But in a situation where there's a downside to take him to that lower Kedusha, that we don't say Malam Kodesh V'loy Meridin. That's why the Taz said if something can no longer be used for the higher level Kedusha, we don't have the halacha Malam Kodesh V'loy Meridin. So the question is, why over here do we say Malam Kodesh V'loy Meridin, and this kain remains in limbo? So this is a question that the Mefarshim ask on the opinion of the Taz. So the Shmuz Chaim explains that even though the Taz says Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin is only said in a situation where there are options, but if halachically this person is a Kohen Gadol, then Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin is a much stronger type of Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin. And therefore, in such a situation, even the Taz would agree that we can't let him go do the regular Avodah. There's also a discussion that I saw in the Svarim. How do we look at the concept of Eva? We're saying that the Kohen Gadol, every time he'll see this other Kohen Gadol, will have a problem. So what's going to be an halacha if the second Kohen Gadol is a son of the first Kohen Gadol? If the second Kohen Gadol is a Talmud of the first Kohen Gadol? We know that when it comes to a son, when it comes to a Talmud, then there is no kinah. So do we apply the concept of Eva under all circumstances, or do we only apply the concept of Eva in a situation where it's two human beings, that's the way human beings sometimes feel about each other, but not necessarily in these cases? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba B'Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So Tosfos the very Maskil, Halacha asked the question, why did the Gemara have to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that the Kohen Gadol goes back, the first Kohen Gadol goes back to his original job, and the second one can't be neither Kohen Gadol nor Kohen Hedjit. As Tosfos, this halacha doesn't apply bezman hazeh. We unfortunately don't have a base of Mikdash. And just like he says, we find in other such types of Gemaras, the Gemara asks, Hilchasil Mashicha, is the purpose of the Gemara to tell us halachas that don't apply bezman hazeh? Why is it necessary to tell us the halacha in this situation? So Tosfos gives a number of terutzim. He says that this concept that the Gemara is teaching us, that halacha Rabbi Yossi, is not only applicable to the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. It's also applicable if somebody was appointed to a position and then, for whatever reason, he cannot go back to that position. So now the question is, what do we do when he goes back to the position, when that problem passes? Well, the famous Gemara, in Masechet Brachos, Daf Chaf Chas, Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Gamliel was taken away from his Nasius, and they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in his place. And now, when Rabbi Gamliel was returned, the Gemara discusses how Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was treated. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that it's only Rabbi Yosef who throughout Shas asks the Gemara, asks always Hilchas Sal Mashicha. The Gemara doesn't always ask that question. Only Rabbi Yosef asked that question, and that's why we could understand our Gemara. And then Tosfos says another answer. Tosfos suggests that we only say Hilchas Sal Mashicha when what happened here was happened through an Aveira. So if there are two situations, number one, it's not Nogei Bezman Hazeh. Number two, if not only is it not Nogev as Manazer, it was done the wrong way, it came about through an Aveira. So that's where the Gemara asks, Hilchasil Mashicha, what's the point of telling us this halacha if it's not Nogev as Manazer? But in a situation, says Tosfos, where it didn't come about through an Aveira, our Gemara, nobody did anything wrong, there the Gemara doesn't say Hilchasil Mashicha. So says the Gemara, Halach Reb Yossi. Umayd Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi agrees, Shem Ovad Vavad Avedosik Shera, that if he did go do the Avayudah, the second Kohen Gadol, while wearing the Shemayna Begadim is the Avodas Kesher, because at the end of the day, he is a Kohen Gadol. So the way Rashi explains, that he, of course, he had to do the Avoda wearing the eight Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore. Because if he doesn't wear those eight Begadim, then he's going to be a Mechusa Kippur, Mechusa Begadim. He really is a Kohen Gadol. According to Rashi, he's considered halachically a Kohen Gadol. And since he's considered halachically a Kohen Gadol, he must do the Avoda B'Shmayna Begadim. We didn't let him do it because of Eva. But if he did it, he did it wearing the eight begadim, he's going to be considered a full-fledged Kohen. According to the Tosfos that we quoted earlier, with the Pnei Yeshua's explanation of the Tosfos, that may not necessarily be the case. Because Tosfos says that since, as the Pnei Yeshua explained, since he was just appointed by us saying that he should be a Kohen Gadol, we could unappoint him that way as well, and therefore he's not a Kohen Gadol. After the first Kohen Gadol comes back, we tell him, you are no longer Kohen Gadol. If that is the case, then he may not wear the Shemayna Begadim. He should only do the Avoda and the four Begadim. Om Rav Yehuda Marav, Halach Rav Yossi. That's the Halacha. But says the Gemara, Umayd Rav Yossi, Shemes Rishon, that if the first Kohen Gadol, when the first Kohen Gadol, or if the first Kohen Gadol passes away, then the Halach is, Chayzer Lavedosai. Then he could do the Avodah. Because the only reason we didn't let him do the Avodah until now was because of Eva. But now, where the first Kohen Gadol is no longer alive, so there is no concern for Eva, so he could go back to do the Avodah. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, why shouldn't he be able to go do the Avodah? If the whole concern was Eva, and there is no concern for Eva anymore, he should be able to go back to the Avodah. Answers the Gemara, because if the first Kohen Gadol recognizes that this person can always go back to do the Avoda, so he'll have, every time he'll see him to be Kohen Gadol, every time he'll see him, he'll be very bothered. And therefore, maybe because of that concern, we should not allow him to go back to do the Avoda. Kamashmalan, that's why the Gemara has to teach us that that far of concern we don't have, and he could go back to do the Avoda. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that since as long as the first Kohen Gadol is not allowed to, is alive, he can't go back, we should not let him go back ever because of the feelings of the first Kohen Gadol, we don't do that. The Chazon Yecheskel points out that if they appointed the second person for Kohen Gadol, so now the question is like this, they appointed this person to be the backup Kohen Gadol. And now the first Kohen Gadol, as we've been learning in our shir, something happened temporarily, and we took another Kohen Gadol. And now we're going to go back, now that first Kohen Gadol passes away. So we've learned that a son has kedima, comes before other Kohanim to take over his father's place. So now the Chazon Yecheskel discusses who comes first. Does the son of the first Kohen Gadol come first? Or does the replacement Kohen Gadol come first? And when we're looking who should be the Kohen Gadol, says the Chazon Yecheskel that the person who already served at one point as Kohen Gadol has kedima. So I saw a number of interesting shailas that the Chishuki Chemed discusses around this subject. The Chishuki Chemed discusses one question that he discusses is somebody is the administrator of a hospital, and he was not well, so they appointed a substitute, and then the first one got better, but the board of directors felt that the second one is more qualified for the position. The question is, what should we do? So he says there was once a situation where there was a person who was a maggid shir, and every day he gave a very nice shir, and the Talmidim who came to the shir enjoyed the shir very much. And one time, this story happened in Eretz Yisrael, this Maggid shir had to travel overseas. So he went and found a substitute to give the shir in his absence. And the second Maggid shir was fantastic. And when the first Maggid shir came back, the Talmidim said to him, "We prefer the shear of the second Maggid shear over your shear, and therefore we would like him to remain the Maggid shear." So the question was brought to Rabbi Eliashiv, what should be done? So he says, based on, Rabbi Eliashiv said, based on our Gemara, that we don't remove, that if the first person is able to come back to his position, he goes back to his position. And unless, he said, Rabbi Eliashiv says, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simnun Gimel Sif Chav Chei, says, Eim Masakin Chazam Uvinasoi, we don't remove a Chazam from his position, Elm Kei Nimtza by Psul, unless there was a real disqualification. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotten, Ayin Gimel says, that that only a Chazan, anyone who was appointed to position and is still qualified for that position, has to the right. He has right to come back to that position, and therefore, Rabbi Eliashiv said that the halacha is that the first one comes back to become the Magid Shir. The same would be by the hospital, that a position of running a hospital is a position of power, of a position of authority. And he goes back. But Rabbi Eliashiv added something very interesting when he said this. He said that doesn't prevent the second Magid Shir, the shir that the first Magid Shir was giving belongs to him. He comes back to that position. But there's nothing that we can do, said Rabbi Eliashiv, to prevent the second Magid Shir to start a shir elsewhere. And after starting the shir elsewhere, then he should, after starting the shir elsewhere, he will now take Talmidim, will decide to go to that shir. That is 100% legitimate. The only thing Rabbi Eliashiv said is that in terms of giving back the shir, the halacha is that the giving back the shir goes back to the first one, as Al Gemara kept on repeating, that it goes back to the first Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yudaimer, we learned in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda said, Af ish acheres maskin aloi. We also take a second wife for the Kohen Gadol because we have to be concerned that maybe his wife was going to pass away. And the Chum said, Im kein en ladova soif, that if that's your concern, then we should, well, there'll never be an end. We should have two wives and three wives all prepared. Says the Gemara, how do we understand, asked the Gemara, Rabbanan nami ha'chai shlishema. But in our Mishnah, we did see that Rabbanan are concerned for things that might happen. Because in our Mishnah, we learned that the Rabbanan said that we take a second kohen, as we've just been discussing, to back up the first kohen. So why now are you not concerned for that? Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rabbanan, Tome Shchicha, that a kohen gadol should become Tomei is something that's quite likely, and therefore Tuma, if you come in contact with the Amoritz and he spits and he has saliva come on you, he may be a Zav. So Tuma is much more of a concern. Misa la shchicha, we don't have to be concerned about Misa. And therefore, since we don't have to be so concerned about Misa, that's why the Chama held, we don't have to appoint a backup wife. And the way we're going to learn the Mishnah is as follows. The Rabbanon hold Ein L'davasayif. We don't have to be worried about this concern. They're saying to Rabbi Yehuda, you who are Chayish L'misa, obviously, in such circumstances, don't have to be Chayish L'misa. Amrloi, we learned in the Mishnah, as we just said, the Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda, Imken Ein L'davasayif. If you're going to be starting to be concerned about this, say, you should have to be concerned that maybe something's going to happen to the substitute wife as well. Says the Gemara, Shafakam Leila Behuda. Aren't Rabbanan saying a very strong claim to Rabbi Yehuda? If you indeed are concerned, then you should be concerned all the time. Rabbi Yehuda answers, he says it's really a situation of statistics. One person passing away, we're not worried for. Lamisa the Tati, but that they're going to be two people, Lamisa the Chad, that the first wife will pass away, that he says I think is a legitimate concern. But that both are going to, then we're going to choose a backup, and then that backup's going to die, and then there's going to need another one, that's really too much of a concern, and we don't have to be so concerned. Rabbanan, and Rabbanan say, if you're going to start being concerned, I ikalamechish, if there's a concern, I feel a mesa trechashinin. Then you have to be concerned altogether. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda is looking at the Gemara as in a statistic. And if we're looking at it in a statistical manner, says Rabbi Yehuda, the chances of so many women, so many wives passing away is not something that we have to be concerned about. And Rabbanim say, this is not a game of statistics. This is a situation that we have to think about what's going on. We have to think about what are the possibilities. And if you clearly are showing us that you're worried about different possibilities, then this is also a possibility, and therefore the halacha should be that we should be chayshish. Rabbanim, but ask the Gemara, Rabbanim nemri ila nafshi, why shouldn't the Rabbanim say to themselves that they are agreeable, that we're worried about tumah, so why don't they pick more than one backup tumah? Amalach Rabbanim. So Rabbanim say, the reason we don't have to do so is because Kohen Zorosu. The Kohen Gadol is a Zoros, and we don't really have to worry that he's going to get tumah. He knows how to watch himself not to become tumah. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case of that Kohen Gadol, Izorosu, if we're so confident that this Kohen Gadol is a Zoros and he's not going to become tumah, so then, great. So lama maskin Kohen Acher. So why do we have to take a backup Kohen altogether? Answers the Gemara, Kivin davdina leitzara, whenever there's a person, whenever there's competition, koshke in the mizdaris tfei. So the Gemara is saying is that what prevents the Kohen Gadol from becoming tamei? What prevents the Kohen Gadol from becoming tamei is the fact that he knows that there's this person right here standing in the wings, able to take over his position. And the fact that there's this Kohen standing in the wings, able to take over his position, makes him be more careful not to be tummy. And as Rashi explains the Gemara, the Gemara's question was that if the Rabbanan are not worried about things like this happening, they shouldn't be worried about tumah also. And the Gemara therefore gives an explanation why tumah is different than misa. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara's question that if the Rabbanan are agreeable that we're choshish for misa, so once the Rabbanan are agreeable that we're choshish for misa, so then they should say, especially the way we explain the Gemara, that the Rabbanan don't agree that this is just a situation of statistics, so we should pick more than one Kohen. And the answer is, that's why the only reason is, as soon as we have one backup Kohen, the Kohen Gadol will be careful not to become Kohen. And I saw that the Sefer Yalkut Yehuda, quoting the Sfas Emes, says, now we can understand, or maskinen loy. Mishnah says, maskinen loy. Why does the Mishnah add maskinen loy? But now that the Gemara explained that the entire purpose of picking the backup Kohen is just to keep the Kohen properly on his toes, not to become Tameh. So the Mishnah is saying, loy, we're doing this for the benefit of the Kohen. It's for the benefit of the Kohen Gadol not to have this person. And he goes on to say that it's the backup Kohen should not be a relative, should not be a son, should not be a Talmud. Because when there's a stranger who could end up taking my position, I'm much more concerned, and it's much more of a tzara than if it's going to be somebody who I don't really necessarily feel so competitive with, and therefore it should be somebody acher, somebody who's not a relative, that will be more of a tzara. And in fact, Rameya Arik in the Chuvas Imre Yosher, Chelek Aleph, Simon Peidalid, was asked, the minig is that we always have two shoichtim shech together. And one shoichet checks the knife of the other shaykh to make sure it's good. So he discusses that a father and a son should not shech together. Because if a father and a son shech together, explains Rameir Arik, the father will cover up for the son will cover up for the father. And the entire purpose of appointing two shochtim will then have been defeated. For he says that this should not be done, father and a son. However, he does say that if the father and the son, if it's two brothers can be competitive. And since when it's two brothers, they could be competitive. Two brothers could shecht together. Ask the Gemara. But I don't understand, ask the Gemara, what will we accomplish by appointing this backup woman? Is it just enough that we have the second woman who's prepared to be the wife of the Kohen Gadol? Ask the Gemara, based on Rachmana. The Torah says, why is it so important for the Kohen Gadol to have a wife? Because the Torah says, V'chipa ba'adoi u'bad beisoi. And beisoi zu ishtoi. So just by having this woman who's prepared, who's willing to marry the Kohen Gadol, we really haven't accomplished anything. Because V'hach lav beisoihu. This second woman is not his wife. Answers the Gemara, the Mekadosh Lo. We are going to have to explain that he marries her. That he makes Kedushin. But ask the Gemara, for Kokam de Lekonesla, until he actually marries her and makes her his full-fledged wife, La Besayu, that isn't considered in the category of Besay. Because even though in Halacha, we know that an Arusa is considered a wife, and even though in Halacha, an Arusa is considered an Ashes Ish, still the Halacha is that Besay, it's not, until there was Nesuin. So ask the Gemara, what have we accomplished? Because Kol Kam de Lekonis Lo, until he actually has Nesuin with her, La Besayu, she's not considered his Besay. Answers the Gemara, the Konis Lo. We're going to have to explain that not only was the second woman designated, but he actually has Nesuin with her. Ask the Gemara, but now we're going to have a different issue. So that means he has two wives. Ben Ken Havilei, Shnei Batim. It'll turn out that he has two wives. Rechmana Omer, and the Torah says, V'chipa ba'adoi u'ba'ad beisoi, meaning, V'loi ba'ad shnei batim. The Kohen Gadol could only have one wife, and not two wives. Answers the Gemara, the Omer, the Had Megarish Lo, that he divorces her. Ask the Gemara, if he marries her and divorces her, what have we accomplished? Had Mekosha L'duchta, we're back to where we started. Answers the Gemara, Loitzricha de Mekadosh Lo Al Tanai, that he makes a Kedushin Al Tanai. And what happens now in the Gemara, very interesting. The Gemara begins a series of answers back and forth. What kind of Tanai would be effective that will solve the problem that he has one wife, but he doesn't have two wives? Until the Gemara on Amud Beis and Mitzvah Shem comes up with the final solution how to understand our Gemara. So Rashi points out that very many of the different approaches the Gemara suggests are patently difficult. Not only are they difficult with the questions that the Gemara asks, there are other questions that could have been asked on the various approaches that the Gemara suggests. So he says that this Gemara is not to be understood in the normal fashion that we understand Gemaras. Our Shas is full of questions and answers. And what happens is, a question is asked, and an answer is offered. The one who offers the answer really believes that his answer is a good answer. And then a question is asked showing that it's not a good answer. And this Gemara, says Rashi, the people who offered the various approaches recognized that they weren't good answers. And that the only reason they were given is lahagl tayo la'adira, to have a shakl v'tarya back and forth until we're able to analyze and develop a great answer. So this is the answer. So the Gemara will go back and forth now. Mitzvah Shem will begin with the various tanoim conditions that could have been made, how we can end up where we need to be. However, the Yerushalmi, Tosfos on Daf Yud Gimel Mabeis, the very Maskil Chada actually quotes the Yerushalmi, gives another answer. He says that he's allowed that the Kohen Gadol should have his wife, the woman who's his wife, before Yom Kippur. And now, as we learned from Yehuda holds, we prepare a backup. And says the Yerushalmi that if something happens Chas V'Shalom to the first wife, and as we just learned, we can't leave the Kohen Gadol without a wife, he'll marry the second wife on Yom Kippur. So there are many answers given why our Gemara is such a simple answer, why our Gemara doesn't give that answer. So the Ritva says that this is not a good answer because you can't marry a woman on Yom Kippur, because the halacha is that a kinyan may not be done on Yom Kippur, and therefore this is not an option to make a kinyan before Yom Kippur. And this is actually the basis for a discussion. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a discussion if someone is allowed to make a kinyan on Erev Shabbos that should only take effect on Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger discusses that the Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Lamed Tes Sif Katan Ches quotes a Trumas Adeshin regarding a baby boy who's a Bechor, whose Pidyon HaBen is supposed to take place on Shabbos, that the halacha is that you can't give the Kohen Chamish Shloim on Erev Shabbos with the intent that the actual Pidyon, which is too early, with the intent that the actual Pidyon should take place on Shabbos. And the reason the Magen Avraham, quoting the Trumas Hadeshin, says it shouldn't be done is because by Pidyon HaBen, brachas are recited. And here, we don't know what to do with the brachas. But it seems, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that if not for that consideration, we would be allowed to do it, even give the money on Erev Shabbos and make it bichal on Shabbos. But, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, from our Gemara, we clearly see that that isn't an option. Because the Gemara, we just said, that the Yerushalmi says, why don't you just marry the woman on Yom Kippur? To which the Ritva says, we don't like the answer of the Yerushalmi, because we can't make a kinyan on Shabbos. But if we're going to make the kinyan from Erev Shabbos, from Erev Yom Kippur, and say that it should be effective, if necessary, on Yom Kippur, if that is halachically acceptable, so why doesn't our Gemara give that approach? From here we see that you can't do that kinyan. And you can't compare it to Pidyon HaBen, because by Pidyon HaBen, the brachas are much more than here. Here, the brachas aren't so critical. The Rama explains that in order for a woman to be considered beisoy, which we said that is the status of this woman that we want to be the Kohen Gadol's wife, the marriage has to be fully consummated. Since it's only taking place on Yom Kippur, and we know that Tashmish Shamita is also on Yom Kippur, so this is a marriage that can't be consummated, so she wouldn't be considered beisoy. Or, the Sfasema says, that we know that the opinion of the Rambam is that a chuppah is nida. Making a chuppah with a woman who's a nida is not considered a valid chuppah. Because the Rambam holds that every chuppah that for it to be valid has to be a chuppah that's ruy labia. And this is not a chuppah that's ruy labia. Because it's, as we just learned, you can't have bia on Yom Kippur. Another shot that the Rama suggests is that the Gemara is very practical. Yes, technically, the Rishalmi's teretz is a good teretz, and we could have maybe done it before. We could perhaps have the Kohen do on Yom Kippur. But says the Rama, the Kohen Gadol is too busy as it is on Yom Kippur. It's a very busy, difficult day for him. And to put this on him as well is impossible. Another pshat that I saw from the Beis Yisrael, very interesting pshat. He says, we know that the Gemara says, Chos Mekala, a Chos Mekala, Meichelam, Kol Avonoseyem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Meichel all the Averis of a Chosin and Kala. So says the Beis Yisrael, who is the individual that we want should do the Avoid on Yom Kippur? The individual who we want should do the Avoid on Yom Kippur is an individual who, like us, are relying on Yom Kippur for Mechilas Avonis. But if this Kohen Gadol is getting married on Yom Kippur, so he already has Mechilas Avonis. He has Mechilas Avonis because he's a chassan, he has a wife now who's a kala. So then he doesn't need Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol who we want should do the Avoid on Yom Kippur is a person who needs the Yom Kippur. But this Kohen Gadol who's getting married on Yom Kippur doesn't need the Yom Kippur. And therefore such a person is not the right person to be appointed to be to be the kohen. That's not an option, how to make him have a wife on Yom Kippur. So, as I said, we now have to come up with a solution of how this kohen gadol could have one wife, not two wives, but within halachic parameters. Says the Gemara, the Gemara explains that he says to this woman, Hareza Giteich, this is your get, Amanasha Tamusei, if you're going to die on Yom Kippur, the get that I'm giving you now will be effective retroactively from before Yom Kippur. So now, if this woman dies, then so gives the get to both women, and if the woman dies, then she was never his wife, and he only had one wife on Yom Kippur. Asked the Gemara, so he gave this get to second wife, and he made this Tanai. But asked the Gemara, v'dimaloi maisa, maybe she won't die, and if she doesn't die, then the get is not effective. If the get is not effective, havelish shnei batim. So he's back to where he started. He had two wives throughout Yom Kippur. And we look, just like it's important that he has to have one wife, he may not have two wives. Elo, says the Gemara, the way we need to understand it, is he says to the second wife, Hamreza gitech amnashu to Musi, this is your get if you don't die. Eloi Maisa, if she doesn't die, so then she ends up being divorced, and it was never his wife. V'maisaha, and if the second wife passes away, kaimahach, the first wife is still here. But ask the Gemara, I don't understand, why would this work? V'stilma, maybe the second wife that he gave the sket with a tanai, loy maisa, doesn't pass away. Havle gitte dahai, it turns out that a get is a good get. Umaisa chaverta, and now the first wife will pass away, chas v'shalom. So if the first wife passes away, so he didn't have a wife. If the second wife didn't pass away, so then the get is not a get. Then the get is a get. So then he didn't have any wife. Again, we gave the get a menash loy tamusi, with a condition that you will not die. If she doesn't die, then get is a good get. So now, if the first wife dies and the second wife doesn't die, so then the get is a good get. If the get is a good get, he was left without any wives. So what have we accomplished? As says the Gemara, he gives her the get, Adamala, and he says, Amnasha Tamusi Echemahem. The one of you will pass away. Maisaha, if the second wife dies, Kaimahach, the first wife is still here. Maisahach, if the first wife dies, Ha Kaimaha, he has the second wife. But ask the Gemara, why are we not to be concerned? The Dimaloi Maisav Loi Chadmanayu. Maybe both of them will survive, neither of them will die. And then there won't be a get, and I'll have two wives. Vavalish nebatim. Voikeh gavna. And furthermore, says the Gemara, where we will, in Mitzvashem, learn Mesech the Gittin, we're going to learn, in Mitzvashem, that a get can be given al Tanai. But even though a get can be given al Tanai, there are very specific rules what type of a Tanai is a valid Tanai that doesn't disqualify the get, and what type of a Tanai is a type of Tanai which would disqualify a get. Says the Gemara, we learned in Masech Tegitin, Amar Rava, Hareza Gitech Amnash Al Haytishta Yayin Kol Yimei Chayi. If somebody said that you can't drink wine as long as the husband says, as long as I am alive, or Chayechi, as long as you are alive, Ain Zeh Krisis. That get is not a valid Krisis. Because that get, as long as he or she are alive, they're connected to each other. Because if he'll pick up a cup of wine, or she'll pick up a cup of wine to drink it, the get will become disqualified. When can we be certain that this Tanai is a vow will be have been fulfilled, and there's no concern that it will be violated. Only after they pass away, then they can't drink anymore. So that means as long as they're alive, they're connected to each other. The purpose of a get is to separate the husband and wife while they're still alive. If the get doesn't accomplish that, it's not a get. And therefore, if he says, Hareze koyime chaye ployni, but if he says it connected to someone else, then it's a good get, because the get could be, the tanai could be fulfilled where they're still alive. So here, where this get is connected to her being alive or not being alive, it's that violates the rules of tanaim by get. Says the Gemara, Ella, Damala, the Kayin says to the second woman, Hareza Gitach, this get should be a valid get. Amnash Shloitamus Chaverta. If the first wife doesn't pass away. Eloi Maisa Chaverta, if the first wife doesn't pass away, Migrisha. So she's divorced and they're not married. And he only had the first wife as a wife. Vimaisaha, and if the first wife passes away, so Hakaimaha. So now he has the second wife. Because since the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, the Gerushin is not a Gerushin, and they weren't married. Ask the Gemara, but we have a new concern. Why need we not be concerned that the first wife will die in the middle of the Avodah Yom Kippurim, and therefore Igloi Milsa, it will now become clear, L'mafreya, the Gitadaha, that the get of the second wife, Lav Gitadaha. So that means until that point, when she passed away during Yom Kippur, he had two wives. And it'll turn out that the Kohen Gadol did Avoida with two wives, at least for part of Yom Kippur. Ella, so the Gemara takes a different approach. The Amala, he says to the second wife, Hareza Gitach Amnasha Thomas Chaverta. This get was going to be a get if the first wife dies on Yom Kippur. And if indeed the first wife dies, the second wife is Mugureshus L'mafreya. When she L'mafreya? From before Yom Kippur. And therefore, he doesn't have two wives until the moment of death. Ask the Gemara, V'dibba Maisa Chaverta, but why need I be concerned that the first wife will die, V'avalei Gita Dachal Gita, and then if he she dies, we just said, that this get is a good get. So then he doesn't have a wife for the part of Yom Kippur, after the first wife dies, the kumli b'loy bayis, says the Gemara, the Megarish leTavayu. He gives gittin to both of these women. L'chada, to one woman, the woman, the second wife, that he just married on Erev Yom Kippur, he tells her, Reza gittach amnash leTomas chavertach. Your get is a get unless the first wife dies. L'chada, and to the first wife, he says, "Hareza gitach amlash loy to consul basic knesses. Your get is a get on the condition that you don't walk into the basic knesses on Yom Kippur." Now, if the first wife doesn't die, so then the tanai was fulfilled, and the second wife's get is valid retroactively, and only the first wife is his wife. If the first wife passes away, then the second get is not a good get, and she's his wife. And even if the first wife dies in the middle of the day, till the time of the till that point, the Kohen Gadol didn't have two wives, because that wife he also made a get with a tanai. What was the tanai? Shloiti kansi lebeis haknesses. And if she didn't walk into the beis haknesses, she ended up being divorced from him retroactively. Says the Gemara, why not be concerned? Dima loy maisa chaverta. Maybe the first wife will not die. V'loy ailala. And also, she will not go into the basic knesses until the end of Yom Kippur. And then, what's going to happen is, v'av gita t'vay gita. So both gitten will be a good get. And then, he will not have had any wife. Kamalei b'loy bais. And as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, we can't be confident that she'll walk into the shul to make sure that the get is not a good get. And therefore, how could we rely on this? Says the Gemara, El-Lachada, to the second wife, he says, Hareza begitach amlash loy Thomas chavertach. He tells her, this get shouldn't be a get unless your other wife dies. L'chadam la'reza gitachem nas shekonas ani lebeis haknesses. That all walk into the beis haknesses. Di ma'isaha, if the first wife dies, kaimaha, he has the second wife. Because if the first wife died, so then the second get is not a good get. Di ma'isaha, if the second wife dies, kaimaha, the first wife is still here. Mai iklameimer, what must we be concerned? Dima ma'isa chaverta, maybe the first wife will die the palgada voida in the middle of the day Yom Kippur, and it'll turn out vavadle avoidal mafreya that will have done the avoida till at that point b'shnei batim with two wives. Ichazu the kabbalah memes says the gemara of the kohen gadol sees that his first wife is about to pass away. Kadam uiv ayel beis knesses, he'll quickly run into the shul and mashvil gita ha'gitel mafreya, which will activate that the get of the first wife is valid, became reactively good from before Yom Kippur. And by doing so, what he will have accomplished is that she wasn't his wife. Maskula Rav Zasi. So that's what the Gemara explained, is the way that this is done to avoid all problems, that he does have a wife, but he doesn't have two wives. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rav Avira. So Rav Avira asks Rav Avira on this approach. Maskula Rav Asi, Vitem Rav Avira, Elame Ata. When the Torah says bias, we say it means bias echad v'loy shnei batim. The Torah teaches us the parasha of Yibam and Chalitza. And the Torah says that if chas v'shalom, somebody passes away without any children, his wife has to have either Yibam or Chalitza. And the Torah says, so if that's the case, why don't we say, if somebody passes away and he had two wives, there shouldn't be a din of Yibam. Because if we're saying wherever the Torah says bayis, it means bayis echav lo shnei batim, so say if he had two wives, there's no din of Yibam. Answers the Gemara, the Torah says Yivim toy, the Torah says v'loim yachbetz, Hish Lakaka says Yevimtoi, Volso Yevimto Ashara. Why does the Torah say the word Yevimto twice in that pasuk? Riba, that even if the brother was married to two wives, the halacha of Yibam will apply. Ask the Gemara, Masler of Yema, Vitema Rav Shavya, if we're going to say that the definition of Beisai, as we discussed earlier in this year, means a full-fledged wife, not just an Arusa, Elamato, the Torah, when it speaks about Yibam, Chalitza, says that Shlo Yivnas Beis Achiv. The Torah, so when it says the word bias, we say it means a Nesua. So if, ask the Gemara if that's the case. If the brother passed away, his wife was only an Arusa to him, the Halacha ought to be Arusa like the Siabim, because Arusa is not in the category of bias. Answers the Gemara. The Torah says, Loisia Eishes Ameis HaChutza Lezor. The word Chutza is superfluous. I learned from the word Chutza, the Rabbis is Arusa. That if the brother only had Erison with his wife, it's still enough to make her a candidate for Yibam.